Mishnah Yomis for Friday, the 7th day of Tishrei, Tovshin Pei Dalet. Masechta Megillah, Perek Beis, Mishnah Vav. Previous Mishnah, we talked about things that have to be done in the daytime, and they kosher the all day. Our Mishnah is going to talk about things that must be done in the nighttime, and are kosher all night, can be done all night. Kol ha'layla kosher liktziras ha'omer. The whole night is fit for harvesting the Omer. On the night following Yom Tov, the first day Yom Tov of Pesach, right in Eretz Yisrael, that's the night of the 16th day of Nisan, then they would harvest the Omer the whole night. Any time of the night they could do it. Also for burning the fats, for the fats and limbs of the Karbonos, whose blood was sprinkled on the daytime, because the blood can only be sprinkled in the daytime, one is meant to bring up onto the Mizbeach the fats and the limbs, and that can be done both in the day and the night following. The night following. The whole night is kosher for that. And this is as it says in the Pasuk, Al Moikta al Mizbeach kol halayla ad haboike, the whole night until the morning. If it was a Korban Olah, then all the limbs would be burnt. That's why it says Evorim. Other Karbonis, it would only be the fats, the chalovim. And therefore, the Mishnah tells us that the whole night was fit to put these things on the Mizbeach, or to burn it on the Mizbeach. Zeh haklal, this is the rule. K'dover shemitzvosoi bayom, kosher kol hayom. Anything that the mitzvah is to do it in the day, then the whole day is fitting for it. Gemara explains that when you see Zeh haklal, it comes to add something. Yes, here it's coming to add the arrangement of the showbread, the lechem aponim, on the shulchan in the mizbeach, in the Beis HaMikdash. When they arranged it every Shabbos, it was done the whole day. The whole day is fit for it. Similarly, the shtei bezuch alavoyna, the two spoonfuls of frankincense which they put on them, that was done also. It has to be done in the daytime, at any time in the day would be kosher for that. Dovar she mitzvosu balayla, kosher kol alayla. Meantime, anything, as we said in this Mishnah, anything that mitzvah is to do it in the daytime, in the nighttime, the whole night is fitting for it. This comes to include, the Gemara says, the eating of the Korban Pesach. The Korban Pesach, which has to be eaten in the nighttime, can be eaten all night. However, the Chachamim said that they made a gezerah, made a decree that it should be finished by midnight. In order to avoid a person coming to an avera chas v'shalom and leaving over of it till the morning. Now there is another mitzvah that's done in the night time. The Mishnah didn't mention it, and it's a reading of the Megillah in the night. It did mention it in terms of the day reading. The day reading is mentioned among those mitzvahs in the previous Mishnah that have to be done in the daytime, but it does not mention the reading of the night time. And the Mefarshim explained, the Rabbeinu Tam, the Rani explained, that the reason for this is because the main mitzvah of reading the Megillah is really the daytime, not the nighttime. Of course, we read night as well, but the main one is the day reading. And therefore, the Mishnah mentions only the day reading in the mitzvahs that are done in the daytime. Perek Shlishi, Mishnah Aleph. Because we read the laws of reading the Megillah, Our Masechta turns to the topic of reading the Torah in general. And as an introduction to laning or reading of the Torah, we start first with the Kedusha of a Beis HaKnesses, the Kedusha of a Shul. This Perek, B'nei Ha'ir, in our Mishnais is written as Perek Shlishi, before Perek Revi, before the fourth Perek, which is the Perek of HaKoyres HaMegillah. However, in the Gemara, one will find that this B'nei Ha'ir, this parak, is actually number 4, and number 3 is in fact HaKoyres HaMegillah, which in here the Mishnais is appearing as parak Shlishi. It will be HaKoyres HaMegillah instead. Says the Mishnah, B'nei Ha'ir, parak Shlishi Mishnah Aleph, B'nei Ha'ir Shemachru Rechove Shalir. People of a city have sold the city square. And this was a place where they would gather on fast days or times of mamodes, when they would gather to say special tefillos and reading the Torah. It had a bit of kedusha, but if they sell that area, loikhin b'davav b'sakneses, they can buy with it, with the proceeds of sale, a shul. The shul is holier because it's more of a permanent structure. It's not something that you daven in temporarily, and therefore it has more kedusha. The Chachamim, however, argue with this Tana, with this Mishnah, and actually hold that the square of a city has no kedusha at all. You don't have to worry about using the proceeds of sale for anything of particular kedusha. And the reason is because one only davens there in the city square occasionally, very occasionally, and therefore it doesn't have any kedusha. The halacha is, in fact, like the Chachamim, and therefore not like our Mishnah. You don't have to use the proceeds to buy a shul. Beis HaKnesses, if they sell the shul, loikin teva, they can buy an Aron HaKodesh. The Gemara explains this is only a shul of the small villages they're allowed to sell because it was only made with the village people in mind, place that they have to daven. If they all want to sell it, gesundheit, they can sell it. However, if it's a Beis HaKnesses of the large cities, which is made with not just the people of the city in mind, but anybody from the world, the global village, anyone who comes into the city would come and daven in, then it becomes like a shul that's international. It becomes a shul belongs to all the Yidden, and they're not allowed to sell it anymore. At anything, for anything. Teva, what happens if they sell Aron HaKodesh? Lokin mitpaches. They can buy covers for the Sefer Torah, mantles. Mitpaches, if they're selling covers of the Sefer Torah, lokin svarim, they can buy books of Tanakh. Some say chamoshim is also included in that. Mochru svarim, if they sell these books of Tanakh, lokin Torah, they can buy Sefer Torah. But that's the highest. Avalim mochru Torah, but if they sold a Sefer Torah, lo yikru svarim, they can't buy Tanakh. Because that would be buying something lower in Kedusha. And we know the principle is malin b'kodesh v'in meridin. You go up in holiness, not down. And for the same reason, svarim, if they sell books of Tanakh, like mitpaches, they can't buy mantles for the Sefer Torah. Mitpaches, if they sold mantles, like teva, they can't buy Aron HaKodesh. Teva, if they sold Aron HaKodesh, like Beis HaKnesses, they can't buy a shul. Beis HaKnesses, like Zorchev, they can't buy the city square. In all these cases, it's because you have to go up, you can't go down in Kedusha. Now, our Mishnah talked about cases where they're going down. What about if it's the same level? Can you sell one Beis HaKnesses to buy a similar Beis HaKnesses? Can you sell a Aron HaKodesh to buy another HaKodesh? Mishnah doesn't mention this, and the Tosfos Yom Tov brings different opinions about that. V'chein b'moisrehen, and so also with the surplus. Whatever's left over from the proceeds of sale, you have to use that to also buy something that has a higher Kedusha. So, for example, if they sold Sforim, they sold the Tanakh, but they have to buy with the most of the, and they bought Sefer Torah with most of the proceeds, they can't say, oh, well, we've bought something holy, now the rest of the money we can buy something less. No, cannot. Ein moicher nes shol rabim liyochid. One cannot sell a shul belonging to many to a shul belonging to yochid, to an individual. Mibnei shemaridin oisol mikdushase, because the Beis HaKnesses, the shul of the of a rabbi, of a larger crowd, has more kedusha than that of a yochid. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. These are the words of Rabbi Yehuda. Omer lo, the Chacham said to him, no, they don't agree. Im kein, if you're going to say it's forbidden to sell a shul belonging to many, belonging to the public, to a shul that's only belonging to a yochid, af lo mir gedoila lirkatana, so for the same logic, by the same logic, you should not be able to sell a shul from a large city to a small city. Because there, in the small city, you don't have ravam, you don't have the abundance of people like you do in a large city. So therefore, by your argument, you should also, that's also moed b'kedusha. And no one holds that you can't do that. And since, in fact, one is allowed to sell from a big city to a small city, therefore, from a rabbim to a yochid, from a shul of many to a shul of one person, is also permitted according to the Chachamim.